We thank the media people. We thank the choir and all those that make what we do possible. Amen. I really thought I was finished with this series, but as I went into the office last week after I preached, because I felt like, okay, I don't know where else to go with this. And as I walked in the office, there were some ministers there, and I said, I think that's, and somebody said, no. I looked at them like, you crazy. And they said, you gotta explain kingdom. You gotta explain power. You gotta explain glory. You can't leave us hanging here. As soon as they said it, it went right into my spirit, and I knew that they was right. Matter of fact, it hit me so much that before I left out my office, I was already sitting down writing the sermon. And I said, okay, Lord, I see. Lord, forgive me for wanting to move quicker than you want to move. So y'all just got to deal with still working in this series of deconstruction idols to resurrect the living Lord. I did change the lead-in scripture passage. We're going to Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. Amen. I'm coming out of the Amplified, but you know this. You know this verse. And it reads as such in our hearing. So do not be like them, praying as they do. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, after this model. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. From this, I want to bring the thought to you. You are called into kingdom dominion. You are called into kingdom dominion. Father, even now, Father, your glory, let it be, Lord, about your kingdom, by your power, Lord, for your glory. Forever and ever and ever. Amen. When I thought about this, I said, you know what? It's right. Paul was able to do what he did because he had a kingdom perspective. Unless we have a kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven perspective, we really don't really see what our lives is really all about. God is fine-tuning our perspectives, right? Says, piece by piece. It's like having a million-piece puzzle and you don't have the box. You got the pieces, but you don't have the box. And God is, as we seek him, as we desire him, we are adding pieces into what we know about him, what we see about him, what we understand about him. He is adding pieces of the word, and he's fitting the word together to paint a picture so that we have a better understanding about what life is really all about. You know, the world will fool you. The world will make you think that life is about something else, and it's not. You know, I don't go on Facebook often, matter of fact, not at all, because I don't want to see what people write about. Because I don't know about you, I get depressed. Listen to what I'm saying. I get depressed at the deception that Satan has covered us in, that we think life is about this and it's really about that. Here Paul is in the book of Philippians, and he says this. He says, he's over 8 times, over 12 times, he says, joy, rejoice. Here he is bound up in a dungeon, chained up to 2 prisoners, and he's free. he got, listen, that song would just say, I'm happy. It should really say, I'm joyful. What's the difference? Happy is based on circumstances. Isn't it? We happy when we get a new car. We happy when we got money in our pocket. We're happy when everything is going right. But if that is your definition of happiness, then the problem is things are going to change in a minute. You cannot base your happiness or your joy on circumstances, because circumstances is changing minute by minute. I woke up this morning and I declare, I think I got more gray hair today than I had yesterday. And if that was a definition, if I'm worried about having gray hair, then I would be depressed even now. It's changing. Your health is changing. People that you thought had your back no longer have your back. Everything is moving. It's in flux. Jesus said that he did not put himself in people's hands because he knew people's heart. They are with you today, and they can't stand you tomorrow. And I think what he's saying to us as a church, wake up. You're in a kingdom battle, and everything in the world is in flux. And unless we have a different perspective, the right perspective, how can I say this? How can I say this? We choose to follow God based on how we feel. We based it on whether it makes us happy or not. We based on whether we think it's good or not. Because unless we have a kingdom of God perspective, we think that we have wiggle room. I say that I don't have no wiggle room. But in reality, none of us do. We just get by for a moment. Oh, somebody said it. Somebody preached my sermon. So we think. That's what the Bible says. Don't be fretful about evildoers, because it looks like they're prospering for a moment. He said, no, you stay still. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep doing what the Lord wants you to do. Because what I said, the Lord is in control of it all. At some point, we got to get to the place that we have a kingdom perspective, that we know that as we are stepping with him and in him, that God is ordering our steps, and God will bless you in due time. And the joy of the Lord, and the peace of the Lord, and the freedom of the Lord is worth chasing after. Here Paul is, and he's in prison, and this dude got no worries. Here he is in prison for preaching the gospel, and when he writes the book of Philippians, there is such joy. There is such freedom. There is such a understanding that I am serving God's purpose right here, chained up. There's a lot of us that we're sitting here and we're in bondage. Bondage in our thinking. Bondage in wonder, I wonder what they think about me today. In bondage of trying to please people who don't care nothing about you. There is a level that this world has set up an imaginary truth. And we all been pulled out of it, listen, by degrees. But if we don't recognize the kingdom of God is all truth, there's power, there's glory, and when walking with God, then we will become hoodwink. And slip out of our covering. Slip out of where God wants us to be, because the world is doing this. Satan kills us slowly. He kills us softly. You can put a frog in cold water and slowly turn up the heat in the pan. Don't have to put the hood on, because what it would do, it would keep adapting to the heat of the water, that it would sit there, though it can jump out of it and boil to death. It's the Satan got you in boiling water and you don't know it? Have we so adapted to the world that we are so two personalities that we don't even know we're out of alignment? Are we dying in our spirit and we still think we're alive? Are we slipping and sliding, dipping and bending and think we're getting away? The more God shows illumination of his word and I see more, I say this all the time. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive us. Because the truth of the matter is we see truth partially. The disciples come to Jesus and they have asked him, really, Lord, show us how to pray. That, I think that part is in Luke. But here we have this model, and Jesus is saying to them, now you may not catch this, but to call God Father in the Greek and in the Hebrew is Abba. It's Abba. That's intimacy. That means that there's a relationship here. That was so out of sorts in that day. You didn't approach God as that personal. The Pharisees didn't approach God this way. But watch this. Those of us that are born again, he's our Father. He's our Abba. He's closer to. And I got to be careful using Father, because if you did not have a good Father, Father is not a word that draws you in. So allow me to say Abba, because Abba is like daddy. It is a personal, intimate word that draws you in. It's that face-to-face. It's that little boy who just wanted to put his hands on his father's cheek and look in his father's eye. And once he saw that, he was good. That's the word that is used here. This is beyond understanding for the Jewish community, because, you know, he wasn't like this in the Old Testament, but God's heart was like that. But now that we are born again, that you're a new creature, that you've been born of his spirit, you now got the spirit of God in you. He has adopted you. He has done more than adopt you. He has put his image back in you. We are actually what he always wanted, was children that look like him. The problem is, because we don't know this, because we don't understand this concept, it's possible to be a Christian and act more like the devil than your father. There is a not only a conversion process, there has to be a growing process that we come to know we're his. We're his. Allow me to make it more clear. God said, be ye holy, because I am holy. And when we say, someone said that to me, I said, okay, what do holy mean? They said, well, I don't know. We use words without understanding. We make it spiritual, and it sounds good, but wait a minute, you need to break that down for me. There's a verse in the Bible that says that walk in the way of love, because God is love. Which means that if you are being holy, then I got to check out my love life. Notice I didn't say sex life, love life. How are we acting towards everybody else? Did we speak, or there's somebody who came in the church and you turned your back on purpose? Listen, on the church house. If God is checking us and said we act like him, have we forgiven? Is it that we can really pray for everybody? Is love so flowing out of us? Watch this, that children will come to you. It's amazing. You know how you can tell where the person flowing with love? Watch the children with them. Children have a detector. Children have a detector. They know who's safe and they know who's not safe. Because children will, if they see the love flowing on you, they will come to you. Babies usually come to me. Not that I'm that full of love. They probably think I'm a child right there. They ain't nothing but a big baby. But what happens is that I bring myself down to where they're at and don't expect them to come up to where I'm at. You know what I'll be doing in the congregation? Meeting people where they are. God didn't make you all that. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. The first stage of understanding and walking in the joy, the kingdom expected, the kingdom of God is that it's full of love. So it was love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for all of us, not for just some of us. Paul in jail knew that the joy of the Lord was his strength. And you got the guard. How can I say this? There's a space that you got to put around you that you can't let nobody in. You got to be careful who you talk to. You got to be careful who you take counsel from. You got to be careful who you give your ear, because if they distract you from your focus ought to be Jesus. Lord, help me to be more like you. Help me to live like you. Help me to press towards the mark in you. Because, Lord, as I'm pressing, I'm going to hear other voices. God comes in the cool of the day like he came in Genesis. And he says he's looking for his children to run to him instead of running to him. They're running from him. And they said, he said, where are you? I'm here, Lord. He knew where they was. He said, what are you doing there? Why are you running from me? He said, we are naked. He said, who told? What voice are you listening to? Because I'm your source of understanding. I'm your source of who you are. I'm your source. Who are you listening to will determine how you see yourself. Who we listening to will determine how we walk out our Christian life. There are voices in our heads. The devil's there. Our experience is there. Our past is there. And if we don't clarify that God loves us, that God is for us, that God is our Abba, that God will not lead us in the wrong direction, that God is trying to get us to our blessing, that God wants more for us than what we want for ourselves, until we make up our mind, I'm going to trust him at any cost. I believe that we miss out on God's best for our lives. Here is the children of Israel, and they have just came out of Egypt. They have just came from Pharaoh, the empire, the greatest empire at that time. And here they are, and it was just a journey between 11 to 21 days. And because they did not trust the heart of God, that first generation didn't make it in the promise. I believe they made it into heaven, but they didn't make it to all the good things God wanted for them. You know why? Because God said, you did not believe my heart. This is what I'm learning. When I look back over my life, I ask God, Lord, let me see it from your perspective. This is what I see. I see it differently than what I thought. I see it differently than what I had etched in my own mind. I thought I was that good. No, it was God's grace keeping me. You never would have made it if it had not been for God who stepped in, who intervened, who made a way, who got you through, who picked you up, that closed that door, that opened that door. We can't take credit for anything. It was God all the time. Even before we knew him, it was God walking with us. It was God protecting us. It was God shielding us. It was God keeping us in our right mind. It was him all the time. Oh, I got better 2020 vision, looking back from a God perspective, that anymore I can't complain about what I went through, because if I did not go through all that, I wouldn't know him the way I know him. My pain taught me that I needed him. My suffering made me run to him and made me know I couldn't do it by myself. My trouble made me call him in the midnight hour. If it had not been for the hard times in my life, I would have thought I did it. But he brought us to a place that we couldn't take it no more. Hold on. Well, but I heard that verse that said that he won't put more on you than you could bear. Read on. Wherewith he will make a way of escape. Hold on. Hold on. He don't want you to be strong in yourself. That was my problem. What was your problem? God said, I had to send such stuff your way because I had to break you of you. I couldn't teach you. I couldn't show you because you thought you was all that. Oh, shut your mouth. He said, your biggest problem was not the devil. Your problem, that every time I try to step in, you said, you got it. Oh, y'all laughing at me. Let's get on you then. Whenever we think we're enough, we're getting in God's way. Whenever we think we got it, or we know better, we're getting in God's way. Every time we think we're smart, see, what Satan did was put the big eye in our way. And every time we think we got it, we're smart. There's ego in that. There's pride in that. And every time we are getting in God's way of where he wants to take us, because he wants to bless us. A father is, a Abba is a protector, a provider, a way maker, the one that already knows what is before you, because Ephesians 2:10 says that he has passed before us, ready for us to take. Sounds good. Until God said, but you got to go to this wilderness. Then you got to go through this desert. You know what? I see where God wants to take me, but I don't like where he got me. Is everybody else know what I'm talking about? Sometimes God will place you in a place that is preparing you for where he wants you to go. Now what's this? But he works all things together for good to those that love him are called to his purpose. Well, I said, if you let him. Oh, shut your mouth. What's it? If we don't surrender to the path he has for us, then we won't get the blessing that's on the path. We got to change the way we pray. Let me explain. God does not answer this prayer the way we want it. Lord, I have laid out the way I want to go. Lord, bless it. But what's wrong with that, Red? You laid it out. He said, I'll give you the desire of your heart. Which heart? My fleshly heart or my born-again heart? What's this? God has put in us his desire for us in our spirit. Well, I said, it fits you perfectly because he knew you before he made you. So that which he has for you is laid out perfectly for you. Look, and when you get there, you wouldn't change anything about it because it fits you. Shut your mouth. This is good to me. And because he knows every little thing about you, if you trust him in your journey, once you get there, you'll get to a prepared place for a prepared person that will make you shout the glory even more. See, God is trying to get maximum praise out of us, but in order to get maximum praise, he got to put us in a place. Listen, eating means pleasure, which means that he prepared eating for Adam and Eve before they got there. Y'all, did y'all hear that? It's a place that was meant for them, a place that was prosperous for them, a place that they had dominion over. It was kingdom. It was their kingdom. And God was going to teach them how to rule this kingdom. Genesis chapter 1, he says, Adam, he says, I give you dominion over the birds of the air. I give you dominion over animals in the... I got some deers in my yard that won't leave. Matter of fact, the mother deer had the nerve to have two fawns. I went to get in my garage, and the fawn was sitting at the door of my garage that I couldn't pull my car in. They taken over. Now, if Adam wouldn't have messed up, I could have told the deers, leave my place and don't come back. I may try that today. Listen, the mess we made. We have no clue. India got starving people. But the reason why they're starving is everything is a god. They can't kill the cow because the cow is sacred. They can't have no chicken, fried chicken, because the chicken is sacred. The grain has been ate by mice and rats. But they can't use pesticide because the mice and rats are sacred. So they're starving because they're not living in dominion that God has given them because they have replaced God with false gods. And they're starving and dying by the millions because they're believing the lie of Satan. My brother and sister, what lie have we believed that is keeping us from the best that God has for us? Where have we made choices because it was simple, it was easy? Instead of trusting God and walking through the wilderness and the desert, what have we settled for? Instead of waiting on God's best, he said to the children of Israel, I know the plans that I have for you. I know what I want you to have. I know right now you're in a place of breaking. But after I break you, I'm calling you back home. I know I want to prosper you. I know I want to bless you. But when you call on me with all of your heart, then, no, no, what he said? He said, I will not be your cheap date. He's saying to Israel, he said, y'all playing. Y'all going with somebody else, and you want to date me too. He's saying, I'm not your first choice. I'm your side chick. You got idols in places they don't belong. You got a second and third option. And I'm the only one. Listen to what he says to them. He said, when you call on me with all your heart, I will be found of you. Lord, what are you saying? He said, I'm taking off layers because you don't even know you're not real. He said, I will show you more. I will give you more. He said, because I got to make you trustworthy with my blessings. Can I go here? Proverbs says, it says, above all else, above everything else, he said, guard your heart, because from our heart flows the issues, the power, the life cycle of your life. He says, don't let any and everything, don't let nothing that you can't trust get a hold of your heart. He said, because if you let the wrong thing, wrong person, wrong whatever get in your heart, it will send you in the wrong direction. Someone said, if you are 1 degree off, you're still off. You're still going to end up in the wrong place. 1 degree in a long distance, you're going to miss the mark. That's why Paul said, he said, I press towards the high mark in Christ. No, he said, it's not easy. It's a high mark. And I got to press my way because I'm not there yet, but I have made up my mind that I have set my eyes on Jesus, and I'm determined not to look at anything else, not to settle for anything else, that my life, my joy, my strength, my satisfaction, what I am meant to be is in Him. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, don't get too religious? Well, I don't know about religious. I do know about Jesus. There's no such thing of getting too much into Him. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about loving Him. I'm talking about listening and being obedient, because you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Is there anybody in the house that would testify with me that the best thing that ever happened to you is Jesus? He has proven Himself over and over and over again. Is there anybody know that you would not be here and in the place where you're at if it had not been for Him? You know He's good. You know He's real. His peace is real. His joy is real. His protection is real. That God has been your everything. You know what? I make no excuses for my faith. Somebody said, it don't take all that in your preaching. Maybe for you it don't. But when I look back from where He brought me from, I get to can't help it. I start shouting. I start crying. I start saying hallelujah. Because I know, you may not know, but I know how good he's been to me. He's my hiding place. He's my talk to. He's my go-to. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my healer. He's my way maker. He's everything. You have to draw a circle around that space in your heart, and you don't entertain when the devil comes, and he will. Don't get in conversation. Speak the word. If Jesus had to speak the word, you got to speak the word. Somebody said, you mean you don't get trouble sometimes? When trouble gets in and I get out of sorts, I find my prayer pillar. Y'all didn't understand that. I got a pillar I put my knees on, because my knees can't take the hardwood floor no more. So I got a pillar, and I put that pillar up under my knees, and I get before my Jesus. I get before my Abba. I say, I need you. Trouble is rising up in my heart. I need your peace. I need your joy. I need your presence. I need it right now. Something is creeping in, and I feel out of position. I feel out of alignment. So, Lord, I come to you. If it takes all night long, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here till you move something, till you touch something, until I get back. There's power. There's power. There's power. Because you are a child of God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, storm move. In the name of Jesus, peace come. In the name of Jesus, joy come up. There's power. There's power. There's power. Lord, I have set you apart from every and anything else, because you are the source. You are the source. You are the source of my life, the power of my life, the joy of my life, my answer, my go-to, my want-to. Abba, Abba, Abba. I was made in you. All my life is about you. So the answer to all my two is you. It's you. It's you. It's you. Father, there's someone here that don't know you. There's someone here that is watching, and they've been deceived. They've been hoodwinked. They are off angle. Lord, move today. Help us to see you as our source of everything. You initiated our faith, and you are bringing it into maturity. So, Lord, today, Father, we bind Satan in the name of Jesus, that he has no dominion, no power, no say-so. Help us to surrender. Those that are watching, his name is Jesus Christ. He died for you. He rose for you. He conquered Satan. He conquered sin. He conquered death just for you. And when you are in him, that power is now yours. In the house, you have allowed something else to take the place of your Abba. The one that loved you, the one that made you. You have settled for the crumbs of Satan. But God is waiting with open arms. Say, you will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart.